welcome to 20 Minutes with Chad. And today we have Chad Meisenheimer here. Go!
Hey, everyone. All right. So, rant of the day. So, being an indie filmmaker, it's already hard to get your films out there, and you go to the film festival route when you don't have distribution. Well, lately, I've been noticing there's been a lot of scam, fake film festivals out there, and I'm going to go ahead and rant on one of them, basically. So, I submitted to a film festival, let's say Film Festival A in Oregon. And when I submitted, the organizer basically emailed me and said, "Hey, I'll give you a discounted price if you submit to Film Festival B in Texas and Film Festival C in Georgia." So that's what you do. And I was like, all right, cool, why not? That's three film festivals in one kind of thing. So I submitted all three films, all three film festivals. And basically what he does, this film festival organizer, he takes the money and basically says, "Oh, your film's rejected." So after he rejects it, he just gets his friends and friends of friends and just book the film festival that way. So it's considered legit. So he just books his friends who he's worked with in the past and stuff. And basically he just takes your money to kind of pay them and all their stuff. Also, another big thing I noticed too is unprofessional film festivals. For example, I submitted two of my shorts to this one film festival, and we were supposed to get our notification on February 5th. Well, now it's almost February 20th, and we still haven't heard anything about the film festival. It's happening still. It's supposed to happen in April, but no one's gotten any notification. Several filmmakers I know actually emailed them personally. One of them emailed three times and still has not gotten any replies yet. And basically, we're like, okay, if you're a professional film festival, at least kind of show us the courtesy of like, hey, you know, if we're running behind or something, like, hey, we're running behind, just kind of sit back and kind of chill type thing. And basically, being a professional film festival. But I was discussing with some of my film festival organizer friends, and they said this has actually been two of the biggest common concerns lately, is that a lot of these film festivals are popping up and they're either scam film festivals or just basically having you submit the money to them so they could give their buddies a thing. What was it? There was this one film festival I sent to, a horror film festival actually, and it actually is a legit organization, but basically this guy gets all the submissions and basically has his buddies too. And he basically gives his friends of a friend. Apparently, that's what he does. And a lot of people are noticing that. But yeah, between the scam festivals, research. So I want to end that rant. So when I'm not working on films, I'm going to call this section the Netflix and Chill. Because I love watching Netflix when I'm not making movies or having meetings or anything. And recently I just binge-watched this TV show on Netflix called Everything Sucks. Basically, it's pretty much Freaks and Geeks set in the 90s. I was totally in love with the show. The music, all the toys, everything back then was there. Being a person born in the 80s but raised by the 90s, it really looked really good. You gotta check it out. It really is a good show on Netflix. Have you seen anything good on Netflix lately?
I enjoyed the Chris Rock special.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was really well written. He hasn't done stand-up for 10 years. He came back there and it's a lot of people don't like it because I have a friend who doesn't like his work because he feels it's too political, but I'm like, I'm a comedian myself, so I enjoyed it. I was like, this is brilliantly written. punching his kids. I cracked me up. I was like, dang. what else have I saw when I'm Netflixing and chilling? Let's see.
Cloverfield Paradox.
That was actually really good. A lot of people are kind of surprised. I don't think it was the best written one, but I think it kind of links the whole series kind of together. Do you have opinions of it?
I do. I think it had a lot of writing problems. I got so lost watching it. Like, this makes no sense.
Really? It was actually really simple. It sort of reminded me of, like, what Alien should have been like if they ever remake it.
I thought you should be on the boat playing Chris O'Dowd's character.
That's, like, my favorite role. If I was to cast myself in yes. that was the role. I was like, that role, I would cast myself if I was the director.
So maybe we should start there. What film should have casted you instead of who they used?
That's true. Okay.
I mean, if you were on the Love Boat, would you be Captain Stubing or Gopher?
Man, I haven't watched Love Boat for so long, though. Like, and that dates me even, like, where I'm, like, younger generation. But I just, like, I haven't seen that in so long.
Well, we can bring it somewhere relevant. Saved by the Bell, because you're not Zach.
No. And I don't think I would fit in Saved by the Bell.
Can you be Screech? Like the long-lost brother?
Probably Screech, because I am kind of obnoxious. I'm not too good playing dumb characters because I'm really sarcastic and snarky. Like, man, I just saw a TV show that was like, I was watching Parks and Recreation the other day, and I'm like, I was sitting there like, Anissa's character, I would totally play that one. I'd be perfect for that one, even though I'm white, not Indian. The Office, love The Office. Like, love The Office.
I do have a few questions. Let's back up to your rant before you go off of me. Now, do you just feel these festivals are looking for free money?
I really think, because there are legit film festivals out there. And I don't want to badmouth film festivals because I've gone through all those for years. I myself even ran a film festival for 1 year. I was 19 years old, and I ran it for about a year. And this is before the California cut grants, because we were on a grant, so we had to deal with, like, grant money and stuff, and that's why we stopped doing film festivals. So I understand the whole submission process, but a lot of them usually have submissions for the venue, the equipment working at the venue. But there's some that I feel like they do it for the money. Like, especially the scam film festivals, where there's festivals that charge, like, $60 or $70 for entry. Like, that's the short films. And I'm like, why are you asking $60 to $70 for submission fees when they're just film festivals? They're not, like, Academy Award nominated type ones. You know what I mean? Because there's, like, there's some film festivals that are, like, linked for the Academy Awards where if you win, you're, like, automatically put into the category for it. So these are film festivals that aren't even linked to that, and they're, like, they're charging, like, $60 or $70. I'm like, no.
So what tips do you have for me to avoid these things?
Always do research. That's always been the big thing, was research, because – you want to see if they're newer, you kind of want to find out which films they selected, like go on IMDb to see if they have a listing on that, see what films they selected, and then try to find if those films are actually good. Because like a lot of, if you go to some of the fake film festivals, they pick really, really bad movies. Like, I know people have their personal taste, but there's some that are just really bad. You're like, whoa, how did this get in there? Yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask, has Chad been watching the Olympics?
Mm-hmm. Have I been watching the Olympics? Sadly, no. I don't actually have a TV, so I kind of got rid of my TV, cut the cable, just have internet. So I could focus on, like, plus I don't have time to watch it anyways, because I'm either working or making a movie or having meetings, you know, that kind of jazz.
And what's Chad's obsession with Starbucks?
Oh, I love Starbucks. The coffee's so good. No, I go to Starbucks basically to write. It gets me out of my apartment. So basically, I can't write you know, like in an office or anything like that, where I have to focus on being around a lot of noise. Because some writers, they want to be like isolated, and I can't do that. I actually have to go somewhere where there's a bunch of noise and everything, so I can focus. Because my brain gets like ADD. Because if I'm writing at home, I'll be going through like, oh, what's on Facebook? Oh, Pornhub.com, or like, oh, Hulu or Netflix. So I start doing things where I'm just like, I'm not focusing on what I'm supposed to do.
So do you only drink tea at Starbucks? Because you're getting some other weird stuff the other day. So I'm a little confused.
No, I usually drink dark roast coffee, but sometimes I like frappuccinos. I do drink frappuccinos sometimes. I think that's the whiteness in me. Let's see. And I do drink like the ice cream teas and stuff. Those are good. And what's but usually I stay with the coffee.
And what's your obsession with the weather?
Right now, it's been cold. It's been so freaking cold. Like, 50 degrees to me is like below zero. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
But you're still wearing shorts.
No. No, 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 no. I wear jeans. I wear a sweater. I wear a long sleeve shirt. I wear a beanie. Everyone in LA, we're like, when it hits like 50 to 60, it's sweater weather here.
You know I'm laughing at you, right?
What?
You know I'm laughing at you.
Yeah, I can see. Like, that's like nothing. Like, my mom right now, she's in Northern California, and it was like 32 degrees out. And I'm like, ew. But I'm like, here it's like 50 degrees right now. And there's like a wind, like a little wind chill. So it's like, ugh. I don't like it.
Do you find every time you go to Starbucks, you have hear different conversations or see the same people? Don't they come over to ask you what you're doing?
Not really, because when I go there, I usually sit at a table or somewhere like in the back, so I can kind of like observe people. Hopefully, you don't think I'm like a serial killer or something. But I sit there and I write. Like, I just hear random conversations. Like today, two middle-aged women were like in line. And one, like, woman number one was like, oh, so what do you do? And woman two was like, I'm an educator. And the woman number one goes, what's that? And woman two is like, a teacher. And I'm, like, sitting in the back laughing my ass off, like, wow. I'm like, this is why I'm pro-abortion. I'm like, less stupid people. I'm like, hey, I'm like, why? They should have went with the iron metal coat hangers, not the plastic ones type thing. I'm sitting there, I'm like, whew. But that's, I'm like, I can't do stupid. I'm like, oi.
Has anybody exciting ever come into Starbucks while you've been there?
Every day there's something exciting there. There's celebrities come in sometimes. Random crazy homeless person that's talking to seven friends of him that's not there, you know, they're like invisible. Yeah, there's just every day something new, and I sit there and I just like write where I'm like, okay, how can I make this into a sketch or a short film or slip this in? Because, like, yeah, there's so many weirdos in LA. Like, what was it? I was talking to a friend about like, just people are crazy down here. It's like a big melting pot of crazy. I'm the sane one. I'm the only sane one, which is scary. Which is scary. I'm the only sane one. And I come up with some weird shit too, like cringeworthy comedy. And I sit there and I'm like, these people make me look like I should work at Disney. It's bad. man, yes, like really bad.
Have you ever applied to work at Disney?
I would fail their background check. Because they have a morality clause, and I briefly worked into the porn industry.
So you can't work there because you worked in the porn industry.
Yeah, because Disney's family-based, so you have to sign a morality clause. So if you lied about you didn't do certain things and they found it, you get fired. Because, like, I have a comedian friend. He just did a TV show with them. And they watch everything. Like, they watched his Facebook, all social media, his personal website. They're everywhere. They actually have their own department sit there and actually look for anything that gone wrong. Like, he made a joke on Facebook that's like, and mind you, it's private too. His Facebook is only his friends only. They still found out about it. Like, he made some PG-13 R-rated joke, and they're like, no, you gotta delete that. Yeah, it's intense. Yeah, because they make you do a bunch of paperwork, and that's why I'm like, yeah, I won't be doing a Little Mermaid anytime soon. Plus, I would never be able to direct a Little Mermaid anyways. They'd be like, what is this? We didn't know she was Latin.
Sorry, it's too funny. Okay, you have 3 minutes left. How did you meet Ron Jeremy?
Oh, everyone like asked me about that. I was hired to direct a TV pilot for Adam Sandler's company, Happy Madison. And the main actor wanted him to play the dad. So Ron came on board and give him $2,000 and he'll do it. He has no shame whatsoever. It'd be anything. Only thing that sucks with him is that he doesn't memorize the script. Like, you give him a basic idea and let him run off on it and hope to God he nails it.
What happened with the pilot then?
I was just the director on it. The two showrunners, they were having issues with each other, so they kind of sabotaged it. Because they were trying to sabotage each other and basically burn it down, basically. Like, they showed a 22-minute version, the pilot, and Adam Sandler and his company saw it, and they're like, what is this crap? Like, I didn't even see it till then. Like, they wouldn't even let me in post-production, anything. Like, it was that kind of show. Like, you're only here to direct, and then hope to God that they don't ruin it. And after that company said no, they went to Comedy Central. They said no. And that was the point when I was like, stop showing it. It sucks. You guys don't know what you're doing. We lost a bunch of people because of it. And they showed it at Showtime. When Showtime said no, they decided to cut it down to 15 minutes to make it the series finale for the web series. Because the series was based on a web series. And, yeah, it was just like, it was bad. Like, I didn't even direct for a year and a half after it because it was so bad. Like, and then my name was all over it too, that just even was worse. So I was like, no. I always buried that. If I could bury that and let it sleep with the fishes, I would.
Hang on. What's the name of it? I'm going to ask you because people are going to ask you.
Not Weiss. It's on YouTube. It's called Why Not Weiss, but I think they changed it to the episode title was Nursing a Homeless, which is kind of ironic because the lead actor became homeless after it and became a drug addict, and it just was like downhill after that. He was like a former child star, so it was just like kind of all downhill after that.
Favorite drink?
You discussed it twice now, I know.
Okay, you have less than a minute. Favorite drink?
Favorite drink, White Russian. I love mixing drinks. Also, another great drink, mixing Jaeger and cream soda. Best drink ever.
Oh, back you up on that one. I've had it.
I love it.
Cream soda. Wow, you're insane. Well, you got like 30 seconds. Do you have anything else or you're done?
It just tastes sweet. It's just like, add the Jaeger, which is already sweet, and then you add the cream soda. It adds a little kick to it, and then a little after, don't know, after a while, be like, oh, why I'm pissing outside a video store with some random black dude. Never know.
Well, that's it for 20 Minutes with Chad. Goodbye, Chad.
Bye. Have a good day.